Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all lines are going to be on a listen-only mode. During the question and answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I now would like to turn the conference call over to Mr. Vasant Hanavar. Sir, you may begin.
Hey, welcome to the Big Data webinar. I'm Vasant Hanavar, Program Director and the Computer and Information Science and Engineering Directorate at the National Science Foundation. Before I begin, I will turn it over to Susie Iacono and Karen Remington to say a few words.
Thanks, Vasant. Good morning, everyone. It's my great pleasure to welcome you all here today. I am Susie Iacono, Senior Science Advisor for the Directorate for Computer and Information Science and Engineering at NSF. I co-chair, along with my friend and colleague, Karen Remington from NIH, the Big Data Senior Steering Group, which operates under the auspices of the Networking and Information Technology Research and Development, or NITERD, program. Karen will talk about the work of the Big Data SSG, what it has been doing for the past year momentarily. Today, we are presenting the first NSF-NIH webinar on the core techniques and technologies for advancing big data science and engineering, or the big data solicitation. Before I turn things over to my colleagues, I want to briefly explain why big data is such a big deal to NSF, NIH, and the other agencies participating in the National Big Data Research and Development Initiative. As everyone knows, data are generated by scientific instruments of all sorts, by remote sensors in our physical infrastructure, by new communication modalities, by real-time data streams, and by every other digital source imaginable today and in the future. The world is producing zettabytes of data each year, but it is not just the volume we are concerned with. It is also the challenges related to velocity and variety that are important if we are going to enable breakthrough discoveries and innovation in all areas of science, medicine, and engineering. The potential is huge if we can turn data into actionable knowledge. In its most recent review of the NITERD program, the President's Council of Advisors for Science and Technology, PCAST, concluded that the U.S. government needs to increase its investments in big data. They noted that the pipeline from data to knowledge to action has tremendous potential in transforming all areas of national priority, in health, education, cybersecurity, energy and transportation, and emergency preparedness and public safety, to name just a few. As a result, on March 29th, the U.S. government launched the National Big Data Research and Development Initiative. The solicitation that we are discussing here today is the cornerstone of that initiative. I would now like to turn the mic over to Karen Remington, who will talk about the Interagency Big Data Steering Group. Thanks.
Thank you, Susie. And I don't want to delay things too much from the bulk of the presentation, but I do want to just give a little bit of background about the Senior Steering Group and where this program came from and the interagency discussions that led to it. It was actually a little over a year ago that we were charged from OSTP and from the NITERD chair people with forming a Big Data Senior Steering Group. And the participation in this group has just been remarkable for me and Susie to see, and to see everybody coming around the table from the various agencies. One of the things I want to make sure that the listeners here know is that this solicitation and the National Big Data Initiative is not just NSF and NIH. It's really owing to the participation of a lot of agencies who came together around the table over the course of the past year to identify core challenges that we share in common, particularly at this core technologies and techniques sort of area, but also in areas such as, our need for having particular programs in domain research areas. Each of our agencies has specific mission needs that need to be addressed, and our National Big Data Initiative is meant to encompass those as well. The participation across agencies, though, has been ongoing over the course of the past year. You can see, I think, in the slides that Vasant will be presenting, the various agencies that have been participating, and the language that we all created together as a consensus around the table is reflected in this solicitation. So I hope that you look at that language, understanding that it's not just NSF and it's not just NIH, but it really is the work of a senior steering group that cut across all of these agencies. So responding to this solicitation will really be responding to a real national need and something that all of our agencies have agreed upon. And with that, I want to turn it over to Vasant, and thank you all for participating.
Thank you, Karen. So today we'll talk about one of these solicitations that came out of this Big Data Initiative. So let me just... you have the solicitation. So there is a bunch of different program directors that are participating in this from both NSF and NIH side. Some of them are here in the room, and I will call upon them as needed when we go to the question-answer session. So this is the outline of the presentation, and I want to remind you that any time during the presentation, you can email your questions to bigdata@nsf.gov. We may not be able to get to all the questions today during the hour that we have, but we will answer all of them, and the answers would be posted on the updated FAQ that's available on the program webpage. Okay, so I want to give a little bit of background and then talk about the solicitation, its scope, and mention some other programs that might be of interest to you when you find that the specific research project that you have in mind is not quite within the scope of this particular solicitation. If you want more information about that, you can refer to the respective solicitations. Okay? So the Big Data solicitation and the Big Data Initiative is responding to a real need, as was pointed out earlier. So the amount of digital data is growing, nearly doubling every 2 years. So this is an exponential growth curve. So if you just do some simple calculations, this is the amount of digital data that's being generated almost on a yearly basis is more than all the digitized books ever written since the beginning of human civilization. So there's massive amounts of data being generated, but it's not just about the volume of data. It's the data is complex. It's being generated at multiple levels of detail. It's in multiple media and modalities. It's coming from multiple scientific disciplines. There's a lot of uncertainty associated with some of these data types. It's not necessarily complete. There's multiple types of representations involved. So all of these present interesting research challenges and opportunities. So this is happening across virtually every area of human endeavor. So in the sciences, for example, in biology, which used to be until fairly recently a relatively data poor and somewhat descriptive science, the massive amounts of data that's becoming available is turning it into a data-rich science, and it's possible now to think about biology that's predictive in the same sense that physics is predictive. Okay, so, and this is happening across many different areas. So in the realm of healthcare, for example, advances in sensors, wearable sensors, and so on would make it possible to monitor thousands of physiological variables across millions of people in real time and monitor them for health, think about effectiveness of various therapies, lifestyle considerations, and so on to improve healthcare. So this is happening across every field, right? So there are many opportunities that are being presented by this. So in terms of accelerating scientific discovery, even asking questions that were hard to ask before, for example, how social networks evolve. It's a question that you could now study in real time with digital social networks. In many areas, we can improve decision-making, understand social processes. So this cuts across virtually every area of science, and not just science, but every area of human activity. And this has been recognized by the community. So, here there's just a few samples of places where it has been, this challenges posed by data has been recognized. Science did a special issue on this some time ago, focusing on the different scientific disciplines and the research challenges and opportunities in that area. The Economist did a special issue on data deluge. New York Times has done articles on this. So the challenges are well recognized across multiple disciplines. So here are some few examples of research challenges. So more data is being collected than we can possibly store in some areas. So we want techniques that can analyze the data as it becomes available, decide what to archive and what to discard. That's one example. Many data sets are becoming extremely large to ship around or download, and so we need techniques for analyzing the data wherever it resides. Many data sets are too poorly organized to be useful, so we need better techniques for organizing, indexing, and retrieving data. Many data sets are highly heterogeneous in type, structure, semantics, organization, granularity, access methods, and you name it. It's heterogeneous in along a variety of dimensions, so we need a variety of techniques to access and interpret, mine these federated data sources. And the utility of data is ultimately limited by our ability to understand it, interpret it, and use it. So we need techniques for extracting useful information, knowledge from this data, and visualizing that. Sometimes even the knowledge is too complex to be grasped or comprehended, so we need techniques for working with this. And finally, we need methods to evaluate the results of all this analysis. So it needs to be tested, the knowledge has to be validated, and so on. So these are just some examples of research challenges, and there are many others. So this sort of goes back to some of the things that Susie and Karen mentioned. So this big data initiative is not in a vacuum. It's in a larger context of the CIF21 vision that NSF has, the Cyber Infrastructure Framework for 21st Century. So the big data initiative can be seen as a part of the data and knowledge piece of this. And it's not a single, even though we are talking about one solicitation today, there are many others that some of you might be interested in that address different aspects of big data. We're not going to cover all these solicitations today, but if you're interested in information about those, there are pointers, and you should consult the solicitation and get in touch with the program directors listed as contacts for those. So turning over to this particular solicitation. So this solicitation focuses on core techniques and technologies. So in other words, fundamental advances in the relevant disciplines of computer science, computational science, statistics, mathematics, that have to do with many of these research challenges associated with big data. So there are three thrusts in the solicitation. The first one is the data management, collection and storage, or DCM. The second one is data analytics. The third one is collaborative environments. Okay, so the first one, you can roughly think of it as the types of research that folks in the database and information retrieval communities have been doing, but now on a much more expanded scale. The second one is sort of machine learning, data mining, visualization, these sorts of things. And the third one roughly maps to the foundational aspects of cyber infrastructure for collaboration. Okay, so I'll say a few words about each one of these. Again, there are more details in the solicitation, so I don't want to rehash everything that's in the solicitation. Just give some examples of the types of things that are covered here. So the data management, collection, storage research challenges include new technologies for storing data and new ways of doing I/O, new architectures, because we have all these heterogeneous data types, methods for archiving, indexing, retrieving, recovering data, dealing with streaming data, dealing with data that's already in some compressed form, using various techniques for reducing the amount of bandwidth that you have to use in order to get information from remote data sources. Various techniques for automated annotation, discovering data sources, languages and tools for programming data-related applications. Okay, so the data analytics piece focuses on scalable machine learning and data mining algorithms, statistical inference techniques, and so on for dealing with extremely massive, high-dimensional, highly heterogeneous types of data sources. New techniques for predictive modeling from such data. Again, algorithms and programming languages and data structures and everything else that you need to do this. Data-driven simulations, techniques for mixing data with simulations and simulations with more formal models. Information extraction from unstructured and multimodal types of data. Scalable techniques for data visualization in real time. And so on. So techniques for dealing with memory processing and other constraints having to do with big data analytics. The third thrust has to do with as science and as a result, data analysis and interpretation becomes highly interdisciplinary and requires collaboration. So we need techniques for actually representations and new modeling techniques and new tools that allow collaboration across individuals that are looking at complex data sets, across disciplines, using multiple representations that make sense within the respective disciplines and so on. And so this is, you can think of this as actually the foundational aspect of the cyber infrastructure. So in order to have the effective cyber infrastructures, these basic research problems have to be addressed in the respective disciplines. Okay, so, and NIH is involved in this solicitation as well, and NIH has identified a bunch of topics. They all fit within these three themes in some fashion or the other, but they all have to do with biomedical applications. Okay, so these are just some examples of topics, and again, this is not meant to be exhaustive. So this includes various techniques for analyzing structural and functional connectomes. So these are interaction networks of various types, protein interaction networks, networks of neurons, and so on. There's interest in analysis of social media for understanding local, regional, and national health. New techniques for mining literature and other types of data to get an understanding of the biomedical research landscape, techniques for analysis of multiple clinical research data sets, predictive modeling in biology related to human health, treating of diseases, and so on, and in silico science to generate or test hypotheses using already available background knowledge and data sets. And finally, new techniques for disseminating scientific knowledge that go beyond traditional publications. So perhaps executable publications where you have publications that are linked to data sets and simulations, and so one can actually replicate the study that was reported in a publication. So these are some examples. This is not meant to be exhaustive. And the solicitation also mentions some national priorities. Again, not every proposal needs to necessarily address these, but they could. And some of these include advanced manufacturing, health IT, which is certainly within the domain of interest for NIH, emergency response and preparedness, clean energy, material genome, cyber learning, national security. So again, these are applications. So the focus of this solicitation is on fundamental research, but they may be motivated by these problem domains, and they might other. So the impact might be on one of these problem domains. Okay. So, so what proposals are good fits for this solicitation, this particular solicitation, as opposed to all the solicitations that are part of this big data initiative? Well, as I said, the focus is on core scientific and technological advances, and they may be in computer science, computational science, statistics, mathematics, the relevant disciplines, but they have to be somewhat fundamental advances, so new techniques, new algorithms, new analysis tools that go beyond what we currently have. So the proposals may address research challenges either within one of the three themes that we mentioned, the data management, collection, storage, data analytics, or e-science collaborative environments, or they may cut across multiple themes. Okay? So it doesn't necessarily have to fit in one silo. What is not a good fit for this solicitation? Well, building a large database, however useful it might be, okay, that it's not a good fit for this particular solicitation. Implementing existing techniques, algorithms that are well understood, and just implementing this in a new application domain, that's not a good fit for this particular solicitation. Or just taking a large data set and analyzing it using existing techniques, that's not a good fit for this solicitation. Again, some of the other solicitations that we mentioned earlier, you might want to look at if your research fits one of these categories. So the proposal submission process and review. Well, there have been many questions that we have been answering in the last few weeks. So I just want to go over the general plan for how these proposals are received and reviewed when they're submitted in response to this solicitation. Well, all of the proposals will come to NSF, and you can use either Fastlane or grants.gov to submit them. And all proposals are reviewed by NSF according to the standard merit review criteria, and I'll say a little bit more about this in a minute. And there are certain solicitation-specific things that will be looked at as well, and we will say a few words about each one of these in a minute. So these cover things like the data management plan, evaluation plan, and so on. And the panels that will review these proposals will include experts with expertise in the relevant areas of the proposals being reviewed. So they may come from the NSF community, they may come from the NIH community. It really depends on what's needed to have the proposals reviewed. So there are not no separate categories of proposals are envisioned. So we don't envision reviewing NIH proposals separately necessarily from NSF proposals. They're all going to be reviewed by one set of panels with the relevant expertise. However, the solicitation did offer PIs the option of targeting a particular agency. So, for example, a PI could choose to target a proposal to NIH. That simply means that the PI has consulted with an NIH program director in some particular NIH institute, and that there has been some expression of interest on the part of the NIH program director in that particular proposal. And so if that's the case, that should be identified. But even in that case, the way the proposal is going to be reviewed is the usual process. So they come in, they will be paneled, and then once the review is complete, NIH will consider the proposals that are of interest to NIH for funding, and everything else, and including some that might be of interest to NIH, will be considered for funding by NSF. So the intellectual merit review criteria, the NSF criteria, the standard NSF review criteria, this include things like how important is the research in terms of advancing knowledge within a discipline or across disciplines, how the qualifications of the PI, the extent to which the research is novel, innovative, you know, breaks new ground, the research plan, how well conceived and organized it is, and access to resources. And these map relatively straightforwardly to the NIH scientific merit review criteria of significance, investigators, innovation, approach, and environment. So the proposals are going to be, in terms of intellectual merits, they're going to be reviewed according to the NSF and NIH review criteria, which actually, for the purpose of this solicitation, pretty closely map to each other. So that's all we have to say about the review process at this moment. Now, there are some specific solicitation-specific things that apply to this solicitation that may be a little different from other NSF solicitations that people are used to. So instead of the usual broader impacts criterion, this particular solicitation has what they call capacity building. So this can be used as thought of roughly as the analog of the usual NSF broader impacts criterion, but it allows you to have broader impact in more than one way, and there's some specific examples are identified as the kinds of things that people could do to satisfy this capacity building activity. So one of the possibilities, of course, is a healthcare application, which would satisfy the capacity building because it's application of the basic research in the health domain. But there are many others. It could include educational outreach, which is standard for NSF, broadening participation, sustainable cost models for dealing with big data sets, community data standards, access policies, and various other things. So not every proposal needs to hit every one of these activities, just that each proposal should touch upon at least one of these. And then each proposal is required to have an evaluation plan. And the evaluation plan here is, again, can be, it has to be appropriate for the size of the and the scope of the project, but it could include things like application of the technology in a particular domain, evaluating how effective the algorithms are, how well they scale, et cetera. So it's really specific to the type of research being proposed, but there needs to be an evaluation plan. So the evaluation plan, you can think of it as a way of determining whether the particular research activity has succeeded and whether the techniques proposed work, how well do they work, how well do they compare with other state-of-the-art methods. Then there's a required data sharing plan. This is now standard for all NSF proposals. And this has to sort of outline the types of data that would be collected as part of this research, how it will be disseminated to the community, how it's going to be archived, and so on. The policies for access, sharing of this data, preserving the data beyond the life of the research project. Going with that is the software sharing plan. So it makes explicit the sharing of software, and this should include descriptions of how the software is going to be shared, the type of licensing that might be used, and so on. So, and this is a required component of the proposal, and it will be evaluated as part of the scientific merits criterion. And then in the case of mid-scale proposals, so I'll come to the two types of proposals in a minute, but the mid-scale proposals are the larger ones that include collaborations among three or more investigators, and this needs to include a coordination plan that spells out how the group is going to work together, in other words, who is responsible for what and how this collaboration is going to work. And this is a required component of mid-scale proposals. So if a proposal does not include a coordination plan, unfortunately, it will get returned without review. So please make sure that that's part of your proposal. Okay, there's two types of proposals, the mid-scale projects, which are the larger ones, which are due June 13th. You can think of this as larger collaborations, so typically three or more investigators, but it's not. This is not prescriptive, so it could involve four investigators, it could involve two. The general guideline is about this, the scope of the effort in terms of the budget. So it's about $1 million total, including direct and indirect costs, for up to 5 years. So those are mid-scale proposals. The small projects due a little bit later, July 11th, and typically one or two investigators. Again, there is no prohibition against having three or four, as long as you can fit them within your budget. And the budget cap here is about $250,000 total for up to 3 years. Okay. And NIH has comparable budget limits, and you can look at the link there for additional information. The main difference comes from the fact that NIH, when they report these limits, don't factor in the indirect costs. Okay. So how many awards can be anticipated? Well, it depends on the money we have. At the moment, there's $25 million allocated over two fiscal years, FY12 and FY13. So you can do the math. So this translates to approximately 15 to 20 projects funded by NSF or NIH during the 2 years. How does one apply? Well, there is a solicitation to look at, and it's the standard application procedure for those of you who have been applying to NSF before. But if you're unfamiliar with that, you should consult the Grant Proposal Guide or the Proposal and Award Policies Guide, which spells out the procedure for submitting proposals. And in terms of using Fastlane or grants.gov, there is information also available on the web. And please talk to your institution-sponsored research office. They should be able to help you with that. Okay, so questions. Well, some questions have been coming in by email, so we'll try to answer as many of them as we can today during the hours that we have. But we certainly will not be able to get to every one of those questions. So some of the questions that we have received already have been answered, and they're available in the online FAQ. A link for that you see on this slide. So you can go there and check out before you email questions whether your question has already been answered. If it hasn't been answered already, then you can send your questions to bigdata@nsf.gov, and they will be answered either during the hour that we have today or later on. We will post the answers as part of the FAQ. So all questions will be answered one way or another over the next few days. Okay? So... So this sort of brings us to the end of the presentation. So we will at this point start taking questions. And so the operator will be able to direct any questions that come in through the audio stream, and then the rest of the questions will be handled through email. And at this point, we'll start looking at the questions.
And are you ready to open it up for the audio side?
Yes.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please unmute your phone and record your name clearly. One moment, please, for the first question. And once again, that is star 1. I did have a question queue up. One moment, please.
Okay, so here's a question that came in by email. This had to do with can a foreign organization submit a proposal? Well, the general policy of NSF is that NSF does not support foreign institutions. This has nothing to do with citizenship. U.S. Citizens employed at foreign institutions cannot get funded through that institution. Right? So, but collaborations with foreign institutions are perfectly fine. They can be either unfunded, or the foreign part of the collaboration has to be funded by the respective agency. So if it is some place in Europe, the corresponding counterpart of NSF there would have to fund the foreign part of the collaboration.
I did have a question coming in from Charlie Sin. Your line is open. You may ask your question.
Thank you very much. I was wondering if you could clarify the relationship between the capacity building activity and broader impacts.
Okay, so you can think of, for the purpose of this solicitation, you can think of capacity building activity as a substitute for broader impact. So it's a recasting of the broader impacts criterion in a way that satisfies all the agencies that were involved. Because in a typical NSF proposal, education is one broader impacts criterion, but some of the other agencies have different ways of, they're not necessarily concerned about education and training, but they are concerned about other things. And so the capacity building activity you can think of as the substitute for the usual broader impacts.
Thank you very much.
Your question?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
I have another question that has queued up.
Okay.
Mr. Verma, your line is open from Oracle.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Vasant. This is Alok Verma from Oracle. And question to you would be how one can participate in this coming from the commercial organization like Oracle. And I'm also trying to pursue the research with academic institutions. So will that be the right of way to partner with academic institutions, or can I also, you know, submit through institutions like Oracle?
Well, we have received this sort of question before, and it's answered in the FAQ in a little bit of detail. So, in general, yes, any organization can participate and submit proposals, including commercial entities. However, you might want to consider the intellectual property implications of this because of the requirements of the software sharing plan, which is part of the evaluation. If it's a research project, certainly commercial entities can and submit proposals as part of this solicitation. They can collaborate with academic entities. The collaborations can be funded or unfunded, but everything has to be justified in terms of the budget.
All right. Thank you so much.
There are no questions at this time, but once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1.
So while we are waiting for the questions to come in from audio stream, here's another question that came up. So the question is NIH support additional to NSF support or inclusive within the amount limits mentioned in the NSF solicitations for big data? Well, the answer is the budget limits apply to all the proposals. So it's not that there is some additional NIH money that can be added on top of an NSF-funded project. And so the proposals would be funded by NSF or NIH or perhaps in some combination, but the budget limits apply, the same budget limits apply to all proposals. Yeah, so the next question that came up is, will proposals focused on synthesis of multiple social media streams and existing static data sources to produce actionable insight be considered? Well, certainly the topic is within the scope of the solicitation, so the question is whether there are fundamental research advances being proposed. So if there are new techniques, new algorithms, new advances, then certainly it's within the scope of the solicitation.
And I had a question coming in from Yannick Folio, Stanford University. Your line is open.
Thank you. I was wondering about the policy aspects of large cloud providers such as Amazon and whether, for example, proposing to maintain data sets in computing capabilities through an entity like Amazon would satisfy the requirements or one of the specified requirements of providing continuity, given that this is a commercial entity. So non-traditional means of maintaining access to the resource that was created in the proposal, under the proposal.
Okay, so this is really about maintaining the data beyond the life of the project, or, you know, sort of maintaining an archive of the data that's generated from the project. Is that the question?
Well, it's one aspect of it, but there's actually a much larger aspect. I mean, at least where the kind of work we do and many others, we rely on cloud computing capabilities for many aspects of our research, one of which is continuity, but certainly data integration and computing and distribution and whatnot. So there's, you know, obviously the U.S. government's trying to, particularly the research world's trying to get to grips with what to do about cloud and how to treat it and how to think about it. And it's a perennial issue for us at the proposal end to try to divine what is the policy or implications of that, or how did the funding agencies think of that.
Well, there is no set policy on that. So the question is, if your question is whether there are research questions to be addressed in terms of how to utilize cloud or other infrastructures for dealing with big data problems, the research questions can certainly be addressed as part of proposals that are submitted in response to the solicitation. And if there is a proposal has, you know, use of commercial clouds as a means of as research infrastructure it uses to do the research, that will be evaluated in the context of the review criteria by the panel. So there isn't really any policy for or against use of commercial resources like that.
Mm-hmm. Because there is a White House directive to, at least for government agencies, to consider the web first, another web, but the cloud first, before going to investments on their own systems and so forth. So in other words, there's a strong flavor.
This solicitation is about basic research, so mm-hmm. that's really not relevant as far as we can tell.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any other questions?
Next question comes from Nirav Merchant, University of Arizona. Your line is open.
Thank you. Vasant, my question was more directed towards, do we need to establish collaborations or formal arrangements with data providers? By that, what I mean is, if there is someone who's going to give us streaming data for this project, do we need to sort of formalize that, or can we just say that we will be working with these groups and this is the kind of data we're going to focus on, and do we need to work with NSF, NIH-funded projects that have been funded to produce this kind of data? And the second part of my question is, given that this is sort of a five-year cycle, can we sort of, this being basic, talk about capabilities that don't exist and design towards that, or are we trying to be more pragmatic about it?
So let me answer the two parts in turn. So the first question was, arrangements with data providers. Well, if the research that you're proposing requires access to certain types of data, well, then you have to probably make the case that you will, in fact, have access to that type of data if the research is contingent on having access to that data. The second part of the question, in terms of whether the research could address data types or data source capabilities that might be available in the future, yes. So the solicitation explicitly says data that's available now and in the future. So if a case can be made, a scientific case can be made for data that will be soon available in the future, certainly that's within the scope of what you can propose.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from E.P. Joshi. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. My question is that, can the project be based on data that is coming from a foreign country?
Yes. There is no restriction on where the data comes from, as long as you have access to it and there are interesting research questions that can be posed using, you know, that particular domain.
Okay, thank you. That's all.
Justin Shi, Temple University, your line is open.
Thank you. My question is has to do with the intellectual property requirements of the software. And is this solicitation specifically targeted to a new software development, or we can use some proprietary technology and develop on top of that? And if we do that, and would that impact our evaluation results?
Well, that will be evaluated by the panels in terms of potential limits to the impact of the research if it is dependent on some commercial technology that's not broadly available. But again, the purpose of this solicitation is to fund basic research. So if it's adding to a commercial technology, it's questionable whether it fits.
So as long as the commercial technology is addressing the fundamental issues, it might be considered okay. Is that my takeaway?
No, I think it's you still have to address the software sharing and all of that. That will need to be evaluated by the panels in terms of the impact of the research.
Thank you.
Yeah. So there's a question that came in through email. So it says, can the proposal be related to sensor networks, or does it have to be related to NIH and health? Well, this solicitation is an interagency solicitation, but not every proposal has to be of interest to NIH. In fact, a small subset of the proposals might be. Health is just one application domain. The focus of the solicitation is on core techniques and technologies, so sensor networks, social media, whatever the domain, that completely outside of health is certainly within the scope of the solicitation, as are proposals that have biomedical applications.
And are you ready for the audio question?
Yes.
Thank you. I have Joanne Brooke. Your line is open. You may ask your question. And I apologize, that line just has gone out of queue. I have Wei Wang, UNC Chapel Hill. Your line is open.
Yes, this is Wei. My question is that whether for proposal responding to this call, there will be a requirement for releasing the data, after the publication, maybe within 6 months of the publication, which is the rule of NIH, if we end up using a lot of private data, not public data, to develop the new algorithm or method.
So there isn't any hard requirement that's written into the solicitation. So this is something that will have to be evaluated by the panel as being appropriate given the constraints of the domain and the whether it's feasible to release the data. In many domains, because of privacy constraints, you cannot release the raw data, but there may be other ways of giving researchers access to some sort of summary of the data or other means that so that the studies can be replicated. So it needs to be evaluated by the panel in keeping in mind the data management requirement.
Thank you.
Excuse me, I have Joanne Brooke. Your line is open.
Hi, I'm from Syracuse University. And my question is about the way this has been described is that the funding is oriented towards new fundamental research advances in things like machine learning, data mining, algorithms, and storage and retrieval and so forth. And at the same time, even just listening to the questions, it seems like there are really major issues that are related regarding things like intellectual property, data sharing agreements, implications of some of the new technological advances, privacy and ownership issues. And I'm wondering what comparable funding opportunities might be available for policy and social science research on those issues.
Well, I would point you to some of the solicitations that are out. For example, there is a core program within IIS, human-centered computing. So that's one possibility. There is also the for privacy-related things. There is the SATC program. There is also programs from the Social, Behavioral, and Economic Sciences Directorate that might be relevant. So I would just encourage you to look at the other solicitations and perhaps contact the relevant program directors.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1.
So there has been a question that has been submitted through email. The question is, do proposals, quote-unquote, forwarded to NIH get a second NIH review or just an NSF review? Well, as I said earlier, there is only one review that is done by a panel, and the panel will have expertise that's relevant to the topic of the proposal, so the panelists might be chosen from, you know, what's typically an NSF community or an NIH community as appropriate, and then once it gets a score, then it goes through the NIH process for funding. Yeah, it's the recommendation process.
And I did have a question come on the audio side. Wei Ding, New York Institute of Technology, your line is open.
Hi. My question is, if this program really need a real big data, like say, can I use a relatively smaller like data set in my like in my test, in my field test, in my simulation, which will demonstrate exactly the same principle and idea?
Well, the solicitation does not necessarily say how big has to be. It really depends on the problem domain, and so you have to really make the case in terms of the research challenges associated with that particular type of data in the context of the applications that you're targeting.
So it is possible, kind of.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So there is a question that came in through email. Are proposals being accepted from commercial companies in which all funding is directed to the company? I know collaboration with academia or national labs. Well, there is nothing in the solicitation that prohibits a commercial company from submitting a proposal as long as it can be competitive with respect to the intellectual merits and the fundamental research and also meets all the criteria for data and software dissemination.
And Julia Schneider, Emory University, your line is open. Julia Schneider, and if you could check and see if you need to unmute your line.
This is a question regarding the whole NSF-NIH thing. So for the applications that focus sort of on the core research and technological issues, but are more in sort of the application domain of healthcare imaging, be NSF or NIH. I mean, when you're looking at healthcare data, there are technological issues related to handling of data in the cloud. How do you migrate these petabytes of data across pipes? So, but the driving application is clearly healthcare and clinical research. Would that kind of go in the NSF side of the review or be considered an NIH type proposal?
There is no NSF and NIH side of the review. So there is one review process. And so in this case, if there are fundamental questions about data migration, et cetera, in the cloud that are of a fundamental nature, and that's what you want to propose as the core contributions to the work, then it will be reviewed by people that have expertise in that area. And if it's targeted to a particular medical healthcare imaging application, well, it'll probably receive reviews from people who have the relevant application domain expertise. So there is no separate review for NSF and NIH. I want to be absolutely clear about this. There's one review process, one set of panels, and these panels will have the makeup in terms of expertise that's relevant for the proposals being reviewed.
Thank you.
And next question comes from Hazel, University of Washington. Your line is open. You may ask your question.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to clarify what is the eScience collaborative aspect as far as fundamental research is concerned. I'm just curious of one particular topic, which is provenance, and I was wondering if that is within scope.
Provenance is certainly within scope. Workflows and all of this where there are actually technical issues, for example, how to represent workflows in a way that can be combined or shared. That's an example of something that's related to that. Provenance capture, representation of provenance information, and using that in workflows that involve large collaborative teams, that's certainly within the scope. So it's not so much about building collaborative environments in the sense of implementing cyber infrastructure, but the fundamental research issues that go into collaborative environments.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, so there's another question here. It says, can you clarify the overlap or difference between the first two areas, the data management versus data analytics? For example, query optimization, annotation, and provenance management summarization techniques. Well, all of these are certainly within the scope. These topics are within the scope, and query optimization, annotation, these sorts of things typically are part of the data management piece of it. The data analytics typically has to do with analysis of the data and building some sort of a model, summarizing the data, extracting information from unstructured data. These would sort of fall on the data analytics end of it. But again, the proposal can address research issues in either of the themes, any of the three themes, or cut across themes. So there is really no need to constrain yourself in that regard.
And on the audio side, Yannick Polio, Stanford University, your line is open.
Thank you. I was wondering if there would, if there'll be any reviewers that will be from industry as opposed to academia or government.
Well, of course. I mean, in general, we will draw on as broad a pool of reviewers as we can to cover the areas of expertise that's needed, scientific expertise that's needed.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. And, sir, there are no questions at this time.
Okay, thank you for joining the webinar. And if you have further questions, you can direct them to bigdata@nsf.gov. And this brings the webinar to a conclusion.
Thank you. That does conclude today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time.